He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, I will be breaking down whatever the bleep we just watched. The Lakers lost yet another annoying, dumb game that they can't afford to lose, given the circumstances. I was going to go live a little bit earlier, but I was waiting for video of JJ Redick's post-game presser to be released. It finally was, so I'm going to be doing multiple things at the same time here very briefly. He was pissed. I didn't anticipate him being that kind of angry, but he was pissed about the way that game played out. So I listen to it. I think it's worthwhile for us to check out all of what he had to say. So as soon as that uploads, I will play it in its entirety, and we'll watch that together. But yeah, that was certainly a disappointing game here. The Lakers lose to the Brooklyn Nets. Final score there was 111-108. It's just like one of those losses that like is going to stick with you for a little bit. And
way to handle
pause that, and we will take this down for a second. There you go. All right, so there you go. That's the preview. Now you guys see that the audio has been uploaded. So I'm gonna pop on my headphones and we can all kind of tune into it together. And yeah, this I honestly think this is as big a story, JJ's reaction to this game, as the loss itself. So let's go ahead and get through that one together.
Blitz and what were the things that weren't happening? If you agree that was something that was an issue tonight,
just throw the ball to the guy, and you play 4-on-3.
Do you know why that wasn't happening as much?
I think it was a very low level communication game for our team. Yeah.
You knew you're going to be shorthanded, but what's the kind of frustration level at the guys that you had out there not playing better?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think being shorthanded is an excuse for how we played basketball tonight.
JJ, you guys shot 2 free throws in the first half. A lot of griping from your players. Do you think that took them out of any sort of rhythm?
No, I think it was just an overall mentality just to take shortcuts tonight. We just wanted to take shortcuts. Too many. Yeah, they scored 20 points on us gambling. They had 16 offensive rebounds. We ball watched all night. We said no dare shots. I would go through it. They probably made 6-7 uncontested threes. Just shortcuts. Don't be a good team. You want to win in the NBA, you got to do the hard stuff. We couldn't even pass to each other. We couldn't enter our offense running ball screens at half court. Yeah, that's going to end up in a turnover. I don't know what we're doing.
You guys haven't had many nights like this season. Does that make it worse when it comes and it hits you? Obviously, you're upset.
No, we just got to be better, and we'll use practice to clean things up and make sure everybody's on the same page.
Luka has 4 techs in a dozen games with you guys. What's the level of playing with passion versus detracting from both his play and the team's play by crossing that line?
I think he's been fine. I've seen Luka get on the officials worse. I think he's been fine. It's just frustration, obviously, tonight. Frustration, feeling like he got fouled some, and then frustration with, frankly, how he played. So it's part of it.
On a more positive note, I guess, within playing on in 4-on-3 and some, you know, possessions. Gabe had 24, Dalton had 19, Jordan had 17, a career high 5 threes. Like, what did you see, I guess, when you guys were able to execute offensively and attack things in terms of generating?
Yeah, I thought we made some good pocket decisions. I thought when we were able to get them in the blender, we generated good offense. I actually thought there was some good to greats that we missed throughout the game. I think those guys played well. They were obviously putting a lot of defensive attention onto Luka and Austin, and neither of those guys shot the ball well, but, you know, they got 22 assists between them.
What are your thoughts on the next two games, the Milwaukee Bucks and then Denver Nuggets, who are Nikola Jokic, he knows Luka pretty well?
Obviously, got to play the first game first and also got to practice first. So that's where my thought goes. The next thing.
That was a guy who was ready to get out of that press conference, as he said, right? He wrapped up by saying he wants to get to the next thing. Let's break it all down. Let's take a quick breather and recuperate. We'll break down the game. So I want to start with the notion of shortcuts. That's a phrase that really stood out to me when I heard it live, and then obviously now playing it back. He talked a little bit about what he meant by it. You know, the Lakers starting their offense way too high. It sounds like he thought the Lakers were lazy in this game and didn't pay attention to the minor details that you really have to when you don't have LeBron, when you don't have Rui, when you don't have Dorian, when you don't have Jackson, and when Austin is clearly not quite where he wants to be either physically. This was a team in the Brooklyn Nets that they have had some crazy wins this year because they do go out and play hard, and they are a younger team. And when you give those younger teams that are athletic and that play hard any amount of confidence, you let them hang around, they will jump up and bite you every so often. And I was marginally excited with the way that the Lakers were playing early in this game, but I was also kind of nervous because a lot of it was 3-point shooting. The Lakers were shooting the absolute leather off of the ball, and I thought that kind of masked some other issues. I don't know. When JJ talks about shortcuts and not paying attention to the details and stuff like that, my head immediately jumps to this team played as if they had those guys. They had their entire rotation, and they could just, you know, kind of sleepwalk through a win against that Brooklyn Nets team, but they didn't have those guys. You started Alex Len in this one. Hell, you started the starting lineup in this one was Alex Len, Gabe Vincent, Luka, Austin, and Dalton, which means that, I guess, in practice, Luka is your quote-unquote power forward defensively. And then, you know, everybody else has to be kind of flying around offensively or defensively. And I didn't really feel like the Lakers brought that kind of energy to the game. And they obviously wind up paying for it. And then on top of it, the Denver Nuggets beat OKC tonight. And that, like, hurt you double the way that tonight played out. So I want to though get back to the whole shortcut notion and the other parts of it that I think JJ was talking about. You know, the types of shots that I thought the Lakers were content with were good shots when they could get great ones, right? And then defensively, the number of offensive rebounds and extra possessions that they gave up to the Brooklyn Nets here. Brooklyn had 16 offensive rebounds in this game. 16. That is just, you know, really tough. And then when you add to that, they made 18 three-pointers. and they shot 30 free throws. That's how you lose. Because if you look at the individual numbers here, like Luka goes for a triple double, albeit kind of ugly, but still triple double, 22 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds. You have Austin going for 17, 10, and 8. And then you have Gabe Vincent scoring 24, Dalton scoring 19, Goodwin scoring 17. You're like, oh, okay, well, they got production from other guys. They should have been able to take care of business in this one. And then you add to it the fact that they hit 47.5% of their threes. You're like, wait, what? How the fuck did they lose this thing? And really, the way that they lost this thing is by not paying attention and not finishing plays, especially defensively. 16 offensive rebounds to go with 15 turnovers that the Lakers had in this one. That's a ton of extra possessions that Brooklyn now gets to work with. Brooklyn shot 90 shots. The Lakers shot 85 of them. And then on top of it, Brooklyn shot 30 free throws to the Lakers 19. Like, that's a bunch of extra opportunities that you just gave a younger, more athletic team. And that's, you know, when you put yourself at a deficiency in the math department, when your margins are already narrow because of the guys that you don't have, this is how you lose these kinds of games. And looking at JJ's reaction to this one, I think it's pretty clear. He thought that the Lakers should have beaten Brooklyn, even given how shorthanded the Lakers were. And I get it from a coach's standpoint, but also, like, we have to be somewhat realistic. So I'm gonna be somewhat optimistic here in a second. There's this. Pete used to say this all the time, and I think there's a ton of truth to it. But the notion of, like, breaking points in basketball, and you have to, you know, reach a certain, like, barrier of entry in, like, in terms of size and athleticism and shooting and ball handling and defense, right, and so on and so forth. And if you fall below the breaking point there, you fall below the barrier of entry in any of those critical entry points or data points, you are going to lose. Unless you play, like, really bleeping well in every single other category. And I think in this one, we saw that the Lakers were just too small. Like, you had Jared Vanderbilt played, I think, a season high 27 minutes in this one, which is nice to see, by the way, that he could get up to that number of minutes. And then you had Jemison play 18 minutes and you had Len play 13 minutes. And then you look at, like, the minutes dispersal for smaller players, right? Gabe plays 34, Luka plays 41, Austin plays 36, Dalton plays 41. Shake Milton got out there in this one, and Jordan Goodwin played 24 minutes. That is a, you know, that's a coach that is going to play his most talented players. And by doing so, by focusing more on talent over fit and need on a basketball court, that's when you start risking going below that barrier of entry. And I think in this one, the Lakers were just too small. Like, I understand what JJ is talking about, and he has to talk about, you know, the notion of playing through shortcuts or trying to find shortcuts, not paying attention to the details in the game, not doing this, not doing that. I think he's right to do that. That's very, very coach. That's a very coach speak approach to talking about this game. And it's not like he can be like, you know, he can sit up there and just say, like, yeah, we were never going to win this one. We didn't have LeBron. We didn't have Dorian. We didn't have Rui. We didn't have Jackson. I have that. That's half their rotation. When we get into the postseason, that's four of the eight players who are going to be playing the majority of the minutes for the Lakers. They didn't have those guys. And all of them are big. It'd be one thing if they were, like, you know, they missed half of their rotation and Austin was one of the guys out, and you would have a little bit more size on the perimeter. You know, maybe if it's Austin who misses and and LeBron is available, you probably win this game. If it's like Gabe who misses this one and you have Dorian in it, you probably win this game. If it's Dalton who misses the game and Rui is available, you probably win this game. Just because, like, there are, you know, if Jackson is available in this one, you probably win because you don't have to play Alex Len in it at all. By the way, I think we're probably heading towards Alex Len being waived. He did some decent things out there tonight. I liked his ball movement out of the short roll occasionally. But I think it's also clear that Luka doesn't really trust him in the short roll. He also has really bad hands. So unless the pass is absolutely knocking the nose off of his face, he's probably not going to catch it. And I think that's cause for why, excuse me, the Lakers don't necessarily trust him with the ball. So I think eventually they'll probably, in order to have either Jemison or Koloko, also weird that Koloko couldn't get in this game. You know, given the size deficiency, I don't know what he did to JJ Redick over the course of the season, but for whatever reason, JJ has never really trusted Koloko. That's been a little weird to me. Jemison did play, plenty in this one, but he looked bad out there too. He has negative touch around the basket. If he isn't dunking or just laying it, like dropping the ball in the rim, he's probably not scoring. And I think that hurts them a little bit. So I don't know. It's as much as maybe people are hoping that I would hop on here and say how embarrassing this loss is, and this is exemplary of culture problems A, B, and C. Yeah, there's some of that going on, but the bigger thing is here, the Lakers are already not a very deep team, and then when you remove that depth or affect it in the way that it is currently affected, I don't know what people necessarily anticipated in this one. I'm not gonna lie, we got some donut money for the kids because I parlayed this and the Nuggets money lines, the Nets and Nuggets money lines, because this was a pretty easy one to see coming. All right, let's go ahead and all right, Trav, I think that's an interesting comment here before we get to some of the super comments. Play Cam Reddish and Markieff Morris. Morris is just outright washed. I think we can definitively say that. He has not been a good basketball player in a couple of years now. I do think he brings value to the team. LeBron talked about the value to Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times and how nice it is to have somebody who holds him and Luka accountable by using the voice that he has in that locker room. So, like, I don't think Morris is really an option there. Cam, I said this in yesterday's show, and this remains the case. Cam is about to be waived. And I think the Lakers are basically preparing for life without Cam. And also, like, you know, JJ Redick just clearly is done with the Cam Reddish experience. So, but that said, in this game, the Lakers were at that severe athleticism deficiency. Maybe he does help you get your hands on a couple extra rebounds here and there, and you don't create so many extra opportunities for Brooklyn. Maybe Cam gets in the passing lane as he proves that he's still an NBA player, or tries to prove that he's still an NBA player, and you create a couple extra opportunities for yourself. Like, maybe that's how maybe there's something to be said about that, but I don't know. I still come back to the fact that, you know, the people who I've spoken to say that the Lakers are very much planning to waive Cam, you know, the day that they have to convert one of Goodwin or Koloko or Jemison. Cam is the first guy on that list that's about to get crossed off to bring in one of those guys. And then I think it's probably Len is next, as far as guys that are probably moved to make room for some of these two-way guys that the Lakers want to convert, and then you kind of go from there. But that's an interesting comment from Trav, that they if you're at such a size deficiency that you kind of sort of lose the game before it even starts, maybe it makes sense to play some more athleticism, some more size. But that's not really how coaches tend to see the game. You do tend to see coaches play the more talented players above the players who fill needs, sometimes to the point where it becomes a mistake. Like we saw that a lot with Darvin Ham. And I think we saw it here again tonight with JJ Redick. I think there's multiple issues going on there, and I get why you would want to maybe see Cam in this one, but I just think, like I tweeted out, that he's basically in Azkaban right now. Like that guy is not actually available, even though he's wearing, I would wonder if Cam Reddish is actually wearing a uniform under his warmups at this point. All right, let's go ahead. This is going to be a shorter show because the Lakers just lost to the Brooklyn Nets, and I don't want to talk much more about it. I'm going to scroll up here to the top. We did, for some reason, not all of the super comments are showing up. So I'm going to scroll up here to the top and play the very, very important clip. Fuck Washington! All right, Justin Tindall kicked it off with, if you told me before the game Gabe, Jordan, and Dalton would go 14 of 24 from three and score 60, I'd say we win by 20. Hope Luka doesn't have the Lakers shooting disease. Here's what I'm actually more nervous about with Luka, and it's the last kind of bullet point that we're going to talk about here. Yeah, I thought the referees have been terrible lately. I, for whatever reason, you watch foul baiters like Shea and foul baiters like Trey and foul baiters who are a lot smaller. Jalen Brunson, the Lakers just played against. You see those guys like do everything in their power to draw contact and then get rewarded for that contact in the form of free throws. And for whatever reason, when Luka does it, it just doesn't resonate with referees. Specifically Goebel, the referee Goebel, I think it's John Goebel, who I think has like a personal thing with Luka. It's really kind of ugly. But all that said, as frustrating as it is to watch, as frustrating as I'm sure Luka is with it, as Dave McMenamin pointed out to JJ Redick in that clip, four tees for Luka in whatever it is, 15 games as a Laker so far. That's a pretty high rate that he's picking up tees. I think to a certain extent, he also needs to play through some stuff and stop whining so much. And I actually think sometimes the amount of whining that he does actually detracts from getting some of those calls. Because refs are just so sick of hearing about it. And, you know, I thought some of the refereeing decisions in this one made zero sense whatsoever. They called a foul on, like, Luka should have had an and one, and they called the foul on the play that would have led to the and one, but they said that the foul took place on the floor when he was clearly in shooting motion, or you get the continuation on the play. That was clearly a referee who was like, yeah, that's a foul, but fuck you. You know, like it was like, yeah, that's a foul and I'll give you the foul, but you can go bleep yourself. You've been talking to me all game. And I think that was also Goebel who made that call. And I again, totally understand. And I'm watching and I'm like, I think I even tweeted out at one point tonight, like just what, like on that call. There were a lot of times where I'm just like watching. I'm like, that's a foul for every other tiny little point guard. But for some reason, Luka doesn't get that call. LeBron also gets a terrible whistle in this league. And I think part of it, honestly, is that like the Lakers have such a crazy free throw differential that referees are like, no, we can't, like, we can't actually call it the way that it should be called because the differential would be even crazier, which kind of takes away from the advantages the Lakers should have in these games. But I digress. We talk a lot about like a team's best player setting the tone. And I think the Lakers really kind of missed LeBron's tone defensively in this loss. But then on top of it, I think you saw just kind of general animosity towards the game of basketball in this one, because Luka was so clearly livid with the refereeing that it just kind of eats its way into the rest of what the Lakers are trying to do. And again, I understand the frustration. I share that frustration, But at a certain point, you also have to come to grips with the reality and play that game. And I honestly think if the Lakers and Luka just got back to just playing the game, those calls would happen naturally because he's such a physical guy. So he plays with such strength that eventually he's going to create some of those free throws without having to try to create those free throws. And also, like, the basketball purist in me is like kind of sort of happy that maybe, just maybe, we're moving away from rewarding some of that behavior. And I know it kind of hurts the Lakers to have a foul, you know, grifters like Austin and like Luka. And it would be an advantage for the Lakers if the referees called the game that way. But I also just want to see players as talented as Luka and Austin just play basketball. Like, that's what I would rather watch rather than watching a parade to the free throw line. So anyway, the Luka, like, 3-point shooting is certainly getting concerning at this point. I think it's one of those things that's going to continue to get better as his body gets better. Like, people don't realize the impact that not being 100% has on shooters or on players trying to shoot. It doesn't matter what you're trying to shoot on. You could be at a fair and if you're like right pinky toe just doesn't quite feel right, you're going to shoot way worse than you would if you were feeling 100%. A golf swing is kind of like this too, where you can do 99 things out of 100 in a golf swing. You could do 99 things out of 100 right. And then that one thing that you did wrong, or that one hamstring or, you know, foot issue or pebble in your shoe, even just something stupid like a blister on your hand or anything like that, like, that is going to completely throw off your golf swing. And I think Luka's shooting, it strikes me a lot as, because you see the arc on his jumper is very different, and that usually speaks to me of a player like searching for his shooting stroke, and also who doesn't necessarily trust his body all the way. And that's why he's searching to the extent that he is. So hopefully it turns around, but I think it's one of those things that should improve over the course of the season. The next super comment here comes from Marley Villasenor. I'm not one to say if officiating is ever a factor in a loss, but this one feels different. Non-call after non-call. You mix in Luka and AR struggling from the field. That makes a really bad 3-point loss. It's a margins thing, you know. So if we talked about like the athleticism and size deficiencies that the Lakers played with in this one, it means that you have to get a decent whistle in order to make up for those deficiencies. And I just don't think that the Lakers got a good enough whistle to make up for some of those things. But I also really keep coming back to, I think the Lakers let that whistle or the lack of those calls affect them a little bit too much. Like, as difficult as it is to play in that kind of circumstance where referees are clearly having a really bad night, you do still have to go out there and win the basketball game. And I think while the refereeing was bad, I thought, to JJ's point from earlier in the show and in his post-game presser, I thought the Lakers also went about trying to win this one in really kind of frustrating ways. And yeah, they did enough to mess up their margins to eventually get bitten in the butt. Next one here comes from Brandon Omang. Len and Trey are terrible. We have a center issue. Yeah, I would say so. That's, again, why I was really annoyed with not seeing Koloko in this game. Like, whether or not Koloko plays doesn't impact his availability. He suited up. He's with the Lakers in this one. He should have played, frankly. It's like super weird that, we just haven't seen him at all for such a long period of time here. And I know that JJ probably really likes Jemison's motor, and I think he probably really likes Jemison's physicality, and it pairs really well when you have a big like Jackson starting. that you can go to Jemison and just make, like, let him go out there and muck up the game a little bit. But when you don't have Jackson playing and when Len is your starting center, you do need that, like, above the rim ability that you know that Luka really benefits from. And that's Koloko. Like, he's of the three bigs that the Lakers had available in this one, he's the only one who can get his elbows above the rim, and not playing him strikes me as weird. I didn't get that. As angry as JJ was with the way that the Lakers played this game, I also kind of sort of think that some of his decisions also led to the Lakers losing. All right, last super comment here comes from Mockman. AR can't shoot like that with Jackson and all the wings out. Also, just drop Len. He's cooked, and we should give Koloko a look. Yeah, obviously agree on all those fronts. AR is another guy who, you know, I just talked about Luka's shooting being impacted by how his body feels right now. Luka, remember, also tweaked his ankle in this one in that really weird play. Austin is very much in that same category. He clearly is. I wouldn't go so far as to say that he's like nursing that calf injury, but I think if the Lakers were healthier, he would probably sit out another couple, maybe few games. And I do think it's possible that the Lakers just kind of throw out a local YMCA team out there and get guys healthy again, because one thing that you can't have, like, the human body, if you hurt your left knee eventually and you limp because of that injury to your left knee long enough, you're also going to mess up like your whole right side. Your back is going to be kind of displaced, your hip is going to be sore because of the angle the angle that your hips are operating at. Your other knee, your right knee, is going to be kind of bothering you there too because of the extra weight that it's carrying by way of limping on that left knee. And I think a basketball team is kind of like that too, where now with Rui out and with LeBron out and with Jackson out and with Dorian out, those other guys who are remaining, who are key parts of that rotation, Luka and Austin highest among them, now have to work so much harder to try to get wins that you're risking wearing those guys down while the other guys get healthy. And eventually we saw this with the Dallas Mavericks, I think, where they traded away Luka and their entire front line got hurt. And Kyrie Irving is playing 36 minutes a night plus at, you know, at the very least, and playing, you know, with a crazy high usage rate. And eventually he breaks down too. And my concern here with the Lakers and how many guys are currently hurt, like, you are really risking some more serious injuries on some very key players. So I would kind of sort of like to see some of these guys get a bit of a break here, everybody together, so that nobody is left trying to carry the entire weight of that rotation burden with how many guys are currently out. All right. I think that is going to just about do it. I'll take one more. Victor A. Yeah. Kyrie was playing 38 minutes a game, which is crazy. Remember when Kobe tore his Achilles, he was playing like 48 minutes a game, you know, like, that's, you know, eventually his body just kind of broke down. You can't do that to players. So, I think it's one of those things that the Lakers are going to have to seriously consider, is resting everybody for a game or two here, especially in this crazy ass stretch because of, you know, the games that they have to make up from the fires. Just get healthy, get everybody as healthy as you can, and see what you can do when you have an even respectable number of your rotation. There it is. All right, yeah, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Shorter one here, and then I'll record a lowdown here in a second as well. about this game. Again, really frustrating, really annoying loss. But I think there were just so many things that, like, right from the get-go in this game that the Lakers were fighting against, that it was just not really in the cards, even against a bad Brooklyn team. And that doesn't change the fact that, you know, I thought the Lakers went about this game and didn't really respect this game and now are paying for it. But on top of it, I just think there were just, you know, too many guys missing. Referees were too bad. And on top of it, the Lakers didn't play well enough. I didn't think J.J. Redick coached well enough to win this game, and they lost. No Raj, obviously, in this game. Bronny James is going to be playing, for the South Bay Lakers tonight, and he, Raj, went to go check that out, and he's working on a piece there for Clutch Points. But Raj, I believe, will be back on Wednesday. The Lakers have a couple of days off, mercifully. And I do have a guest for tomorrow. I'm not going to give away who the guest is because of the jinx job that I did with Jovan. But, you know, we do have a guest lined up for Wednesday. For Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I'll be doing a Jovan show. I'll be popping onto the block, going from the lounge to the block, to talk about these Lakers. And, you know what? He and I both have to come to grips with the fact that we recorded a very optimistic podcast, and since then, half the Lakers have died. So, until tonight or until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your night, evening, day, whatever it is. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.